Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 11, Consecration and Authority. Guest minister Don Colterman delivered this message on March 11th, 2018.
Actually, if you went home right now, can everyone hear me okay? If you went home right now, I really believe that you could have gone home having received already more than you maybe would have received in some places, some buildings that have a steeple on the top. But it's extraordinary what God is doing. And I would like to just begin with a little portion of scripture, and this is not our message for today, but just to follow up on what Cheryl was really introducing here. In Acts chapter 3, we read, one day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man crippled from birth, was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day, to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us. Look at us. Look at me." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. I hope that you are here today expecting to get something. Expecting to get something. And Muir Rivka, and I really didn't coordinate things, but one of her songs was talking about the same power lives in us. One of them was that the Holy Spirit is changing everything, what we seek. And the third one, that mighty is our God. Well, you see, I was asked several weeks ago by Pastor Harley if I would be able to provide the message today. And of course, I always enjoy the opportunity when I can. But at that particular point in time, I had been studying the Old Testament prophets. And so in my mind, and with him also even being in Israel, that's the occasion for my opportunity. I was thinking, well, maybe a message on Israel or Jerusalem would really be apropos. Well, or maybe providing an explanation or answer to the violence that it seems almost no politician or news analyst can figure out. Because the problem has to be with guns, negligent school officials or law enforcement, or it must be the governor's fault, or mental illness, or maybe even President Trump. So maybe there should be a message on that. But I found out that my assignment was consecration and authority. Let's begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we praise you for your good and your mercy endures forever. We praise you, Lord, for your good and your mercy endures forever. We praise you, O Lord, for your good and your mercy endures forever. And we ask, Father, as Paul kept asking the on behalf of the Ephesians, that you would give unto us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may come to know you better. That you would open the eyes of our hearts and our understanding that we may be enlightened and come to know evermore your incomparably great power, your incomparably great power for us who believe. And to this end, we believe you, Father, and so we thank you in advance in the name of Jesus. Consecration and authority. Consecrate is defined as being dedicated to a sacred purpose, or to make or declare sacred, especially to devote to the worship of God, even by a solemn ceremony. Authority is power to influence or command thought, opinion, or behavior. You have already, I trust, noted the scripture in your bulletin in Luke chapter 10. And that is really a key scripture. Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. You see, I believe that the level or degree of God's authority working in us and through us is related to the level or degree of our consecration and obedience to him. If you have paper, you might want to take down some notes. We may make reference to some scriptures that we may not be able to fully read or share at this point in time. But I trust that all of you will be as the Berean Christians in Acts chapter 17, which it shares about them that they were more noble than the Thessalonians, for they received the word of God with great eagerness, and they searched the scriptures daily to see whether those things were so that Paul had said. And so please feel challenged or encouraged to do that anytime you hear the word. But again, I will restate, I believe that the level or degree of God's authority working in us and through us is related to the level or degree of our consecration and obedience to him. Perhaps we should also make the observation that God's commands or directives are not suggestions. God's commands or directives are not suggestions. You see, God has said through Hosea in Hosea 4:6, my people. God says, my people. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And that's often where people stop, but there's the next sentence. Because you have rejected knowledge, I have rejected you as my priests. God said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And because you have rejected knowledge, I have rejected you as my priests. Quite an indictment. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 11 to 16, in verse 13, we read where the Apostle Paul said to the young man, until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching, and to teaching. Devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching, and to teaching. There are some scriptures that I would like to, if time allows, actually publicly read because they are so awesome. You see, just because we may all call ourselves Christian does not mean that we are all experiencing the same level of God's authority working in us and through us. Yes? You see, sometimes as I have taught, had opportunity to teach, and possibly Sally and Mel remember it too, I've had people ask me what I am. And finally they indulge me and they ask me. And I tell them, I'm a truck driver. And those that know me, you know, give me that kind of a response. But I ask someone else to ask me, and they ask me, what are you? And I say that I'm a truck driver. You see, every time I am asked that question, I can call myself a truck driver, right? But I am not a truck driver unless I am driving a truck. My point is, you can call yourself whatever you want. You can even call yourself a Christian. So why or why not are we experiencing the same level of God's authority working in us and through us? You may jot down a reference to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. In fact, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, please. And we begin in verse 1 and we read, "For I do not want you to be ignorant." Well, that sounds like Hosea saying, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. "I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers, that our forefathers were all," everyone say all, "were all under the cloud, and that they all," say all, "they all passed through the sea. They were all," say all, "they were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea." Verse 3, "they all," everyone say all, "they all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with three of them. Four? A dozen? God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered over the desert." And then it goes on to explain that these things were written as examples and as warnings for us. So you see, you can have the same group of people experiencing the same things and see and observe a different result. Is that because God is a respecter of persons, giving favor to some and not to others? Well, let's see. Acts chapter 10, please. And in Acts, Acts chapter 10, verse 34. Then Peter began to speak, and this was in the household of Cornelius. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation. God accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. So there are two qualifiers: who fear him and do what is right. You see, in Luke chapter 4, beginning with verse 31, we read these words, and this is more closely associated now with our theme of consecration and authority. Consecration being the theme that Pastor Harley has selected for the month of March, and for today, consecration and authority. In Luke 4, beginning with verse 31, we read, then he went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and was teaching them on the Sabbaths. Just this morning, as we were in our pre-service meeting, Pastor Harley and Karen were there in Capernaum with the group in Israel and shared a few words and gave greetings to the church. That's kind of interesting too, okay? And so Jesus was teaching them on the Sabbath. And they were astonished at his teaching, for his word was with authority. Now in the synagogue there was a man who had a spirit of an unclean demon. And he cried out with a loud voice, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Was that a lie? No, Jesus was the Holy One of God. It was spoken by who? An unclean demon. But it's kind of interesting to me in that the demon said, let us, what have we to destroy us? Perhaps more than one demon. Verse 35. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, be quiet and come out of him. And when the demon had thrown him in their midst, it came out of him and did not hurt him. Then they were all amazed and spoke among themselves, saying, what a word this is. For with authority and power, he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out. And the report about him went out into every place in the surrounding region. There are many places that are meeting today and would not have heard a testimony that we heard this morning about a place in the country of Cuba where people were delivered and set free from demonic power. You see, with consecration comes authority. And I tied in the word consecration and obedience because I believe that the two are very closely related. Consecration to God and obedience to God brings authority. You see, Jesus had authority because he was under authority. Jesus had authority because he was under authority. You can read it stated in more places, but in John 8, verses 28 and 29, you may just jot down the verses if you would choose. And he made the statement, I do nothing on my own. Another place, the works that I do and the words that I speak are not my own, but the Father's who sent me. Jesus was under authority, and therefore he had authority. You see, even the centurion of Capernaum understood that same principle. And many people today, I believe, do not. If you would turn, please, to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. Beginning with verse 1. When Jesus had finished saying all this in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. There a centurion's servant, whom his master valued highly, was sick and about to die. His servant was sick and about to die. Maybe some here are experiencing sickness, but none of you appears to me about to die. If you are sick and about to die, that's very, very sick. Okay? Verse 3, the centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him. This man deserves you to have you do this because he loves our nation and has built our synagogue. So Jesus went with them. He was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to say to him, Lord, don't trouble yourself. So the centurion sent friends with this directive, Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. Do you see the humbleness of the centurion? But say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. Do you see the thing about this centurion? This centurion recognized the authority of Jesus because he also, being a person of authority, was under authority. Therefore, he had authority and he could tell a servant to do this or to do that, and it was done. Because he was under authority. We're talking about consecration and authority today, see? You see, many, even within Christianity, would like authority to accomplish great things or see God do mighty things. But are they willing for the consecration and obedience to have that level of authority? Do you see why some may have a greater amount of God's authority working in them and through them? So how much authority do you want? How much are you willing to pay? Consecration or obedience-wise? God's commands are not suggestions. And they are not designed to be a burden to us, but to enable God's power working in us through us. Wasn't that our prayer as we opened? Well, let's finish this since we're right here. When Jesus heard this, this is still in Luke 7, verse 9. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him, and turning to the crowd following him, he said, I tell you, I have not found such great faith even in Israel. Then the men who had been sent returned to the house and found the servant well. The servant that was so sick, he was about to die. A word was spoken. The servant was healed. Because his master was a man under authority, who recognized that Jesus was under authority, and he tapped into God's power, and his servant was well. Whose authority are you under? Are you experiencing victory? Romans chapter 6, please. Verse 16. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one you obey. Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. Second Peter chapter 2, please. Second Peter chapter 2, verse 19. They promise them freedom while they themselves are slaves of depravity. For a man is a slave to whatever has mastered him. A man is a slave to whatever has mastered him. Whose authority are you under? If you would look back, and you don't necessarily have to turn there right at the moment, but to Romans chapter 6, where we had sort of begun, it makes reference to, you know, slaves to sin leads to death, okay? But slaves to obedience, and we are tying consecration and obedience very closely together. Slaves to obedience leads to righteousness. And righteousness leads to holiness. And the result is eternal life. That's quite a neat chapter. Romans 6. Being a slave to obedience leads to a slave to righteousness, which leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. In Philippians 2, verses 9 to 11, we read, "Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him," referring to Jesus, "the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father." You say, that same cripple who was at the gate called Beautiful that we had referred to in Acts chapter 3, when Peter and John were questioned about, you know, how did this take place? And in verse 16, Peter explains, "By faith in the name of Jesus." It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has made this man whole. If you would read the entire story of this man, who was crippled from where? How soon? From birth. And later on in the story, you find out how old he is. He was how old at this time? Over 40 years old. He was crippled from birth. He was over 40 years old. And they carried him there on, mostly on Saturdays. Or was it Wednesdays and Saturdays? I think the account said every day. He was carried to this temple gate every day. And he was over 40 years old. But when he looked at Peter and John, he was expecting something. Now, something interesting maybe you haven't thought about. He was at the gate called Beautiful, correct? I see some nods, yes. And that was one of the temple gates, yes. Jesus never went past that gate, right? Because Jesus didn't often go to the temple. No, have you thought about that? So this man is being laid out there every day. Every day. And he's now over 40 years old. And Jesus had to have passed by that gate many times. Why didn't he heal him? Because Jesus was waiting for Peter and John to do it. No, but isn't that an interesting thing? You know, sometimes we wonder about time frames. A man over 40 years old, crippled from birth. He had never walked a day in his life. And some guy comes along, some old smelly fisherman, and says, you know, "Silver and gold have I not, but such as I have, I give it to you in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Rise up and walk." And he took him by his right hand, helped him to his feet. And before long, this man was leaping, jumping, and praising God in the temple, who had never walked a day in his life. What's your problem? You've had your affliction how long? Some of you aren't even 40 years old. Oh, but that's just a story in the Bible. C- consecration and authority. Who is your master? How consecrated are you? How obedient do you want to be? How much of God's power do you want working in you and through you? There might be a price to pay. If I have time, we'll share some examples of those who paid a price. Acts chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name, there is no other name, there is no other name. Not Muhammad, not Confucius, not Buddha. There is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. It becomes pretty imperative that we share Jesus with people, isn't it? And then in Revelation chapter 12, verses 10 and 11, then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down, and they overcame him, that's the accuser. What is the accuser's name? Satan. Satan means accuser. And they overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. And they did not love their lives to the death. You see, when we talk about consecration and authority, and you see the scripture in your bulletin was, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. We're speaking about Satan and his demonic forces, right? You see, when Jesus sent out the 12, and it's recorded in Luke chapter 9, he said, I give you authority to cast out demons. When he sent out the 70 or 72 referred to in Luke chapter 10, they returned saying, even the demons are subject to us. And in Mark 16, where most of Christianity makes reference to the commission, the Great Commission, it is often referred to as, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's even in Cuba, right? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, because he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. And very often that's where they stop. They didn't memorize the next verse that begins with and. As a teacher, I understand that and is a conjunction. It links what has been said with what is to follow. So what is to follow? And these signs shall follow them that believe. Are you a believer? It doesn't say these signs shall follow apostles. It doesn't say these signs are limited to pastors. It doesn't say these signs are limited to evangelists. These signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak in new tongues. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. They shall take up serpents with their hands. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And verse 20 concludes, and they preached the word of God everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming his word with the signs that followed. Yes, they cast out demons. They spoke in new tongues. They laid hands on the sick, and the sick recovered. We as believers have that authority. We have the name of Jesus, the blood of the Lamb, and the Word of God. The name of Jesus. Acts chapter 19, please. Acts chapter 19. Well, we'll start with verse 11. It's not our key verse, but God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick, and their illnesses were cured, and the evil spirits left them. That's why it's always important to carry a handkerchief in your pocket. It's something that you and I practice every day, right? Okay. I got one, amen. We're talking about consecration and authority. Paul was not Jesus. But these signs shall follow them that believe. Even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him. And if we ever see anything like that on television, it must all be, you know, a joke. Huh? Maybe not. Verse 13, some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits, it didn't say they were apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, or teachers, but some Jews, and it says they were driving out evil spirits. There are many whole churches that you would never see that experienced in 100 years. But let's see the rest of the story. Some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out. Seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, so you see they had credentials, right? They had graduated from the seminary in Jerusalem with their degree in theology. Seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. One day the evil spirit answered them, Jesus I know, and I know about Paul, but who are you? Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them all seven of them. with their degrees in theology. He overpowered them all. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. You see, it is important to have real, genuine relationship with Jesus the Christ. You can't use someone else's relationship with Jesus to experience authority in you and working through you. It did not work. To invoke the name of the Lord Jesus, whom Paul preaches. Please, it goes on, verse 17. When this became known to the Jews and Greeks living in Ephesus, they were all seized with fear. And the name of the Lord Jesus was held in high honor. And the name of the Lord Jesus was held in high honor because, you see, there is no other name. We have read that, right? Whereby we must be saved. The name of the Lord Jesus was held in high honor. Many of those who believed now came and openly confessed their evil deeds. You see, 1 John 1 verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, He, Jesus, is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. That's the love of God in Christ Jesus. And they confessed their evil deeds. A number, please notice verse 19, a number who had practiced sorcery brought their scrolls together and burned them publicly. Obviously, these had to have been scrolls of witchcraft or demon power, that kind of thing, right? When they calculated the value of the scrolls, the total came to 50,000 drachmas. 50,000 drachmas. Do you know what the value of a drachma was at that time? It was a day's wage. And so the value of what they brought and burned, 50,000 drachmas. What if we said that the minimum wage is $10 an hour and you work an 8-hour day? That's $80, right? What is the value of 80 times 50,000? That was one or two scrolls, right? See, what are you willing to what degree or level do you want to consecrate or be obedient to God so that you can have His authority working in you and for you? How important is it? Verse 20 sort of concludes this well. In this way, the word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power. It spread widely and it grew in power. We need to have expectation of seeing God's power working in and through us. I encourage you in that today. You see, there was Moses. You remember Moses, right? Remember when the Egyptian army was coming behind them and they were confronted by the Red Sea in front of them, that they were in a real dilemma. I mean, this is being hard-pressed by the enemy, right? And God told Moses, just raise your staff over the waters, which he did, and the waters divided. Can you imagine what an incredible sight that must have been to witness that? So that the people walked across what was water on dry land. And yet, not too much later, they were lacking water. And God told Moses, speak to the rock, and water will come forth. Just speak to the rock, and I'll provide water for the people. And instead, Moses struck the rock twice. Water gushed out. The people had water. But God said to Moses, because you did not trust in me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this community into the land I give them. And so Moses was able to take them all of the way to the promised land, but was not allowed to take them into it. Because he struck a rock twice instead of speaking to it. How important is obedience? How important is obedience? There's kind of an interesting portion of scripture in Isaiah 44, verses 24 to 26, and you may just jot down the verses, but in verse 26, God makes reference to after he says, this is what the sovereign Lord says, you know, who created the earth and spread out the heavens. In verse 26, he says, who carries out the words of his servants and fulfills the predictions of his messengers. You see, God desires for us to be able to walk in his authority. But even when Jesus was talking to the rich young man and asked him, what is the greatest commandment? The young man rightly reported, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, or as Deuteronomy 6:5 that he was quoting says, strength. We are to love God with our whole heart, our soul, and our physical being. Jesus said in John 14, if you love me, you will obey what I command. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And so to love God is to obey him. You see, even Joshua in Joshua 10, verse 13, it's kind of interesting that Joshua, in order to win a particular battle against an enemy, he commanded Joshua. This is an Old Testament guy, right? He commanded the sun to stand still. And the sun stood still, and the moon didn't move till the battle was done. He didn't even say the right thing. The sun doesn't go around the earth. What creates day and night? The earth turning on its axis, huh? So he commanded the sun to stand still and the earth stopped turning for a while. Isn't that pretty awesome? An Old Testament guy? And we see that we have better promises. And we could go on to Gideon, Elijah. We don't have time for Elijah. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Daniel. Lot, a righteous man who was distressed by the filthy lives of the lawless men among whom he lived. But please turn to Hebrews chapter 12 in closing. And in Hebrews chapter 11, we have the great people of faith, you know. But please notice in toward the end of chapter 11, after listing some great people of faith, it goes on, verse 33, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fiery the fury of the flames, escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned, they were sawed in two, they were put to death by the sword, they went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us so that only together with us would they be made perfect. And then chapter 12 follows on the heels of this, saying, since we are therefore surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, since we are therefore surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. I trust that we will receive that, those words. Verse 3, consider him who endured such opposition from sinful man so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. If you have begun to grow weary and lose heart from whatever the battle is that you are engaged in, check these things out. Throw off everything that hinders. Some things may be hindrances, may not even be sin. But if it's a hindrance, throw off everything that hinders. And the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. It is not a 10-yard dash. And then keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. You see, the word is powerful. Hebrews 4, for the word is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word this day. And we ask, Father, that you will help us to be more consecrated and obedient to you, because we do desire your authority to be manifested in us and through us on behalf of others. And for this, we believe you, Father. So we thank you in advance in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.